Our reading this morning is from Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Who has heard a sermon on that passage before? Who has heard many sermons on that passage before? But who remembers making something in Sunday school about that passage? We saw some of it, it was probably 7 weeks ago, because it was the final Sunday of the previous series. So our Sunday school children also did some art and craft based on this passage as well. Well, here is another sermon on that passage from Ephesians. It might be a bit different to what you'd heard before or what you might expect, or it might be quite standard. We'll see. But I might open it up unexpectedly by talking about the British comedy sitcom, Blackadder. Now, there are four series of the show, with each series set in a different historical period, with the two main characters, Blackadder and Baldric, following each series as their descendants, with some other characters thrown in the mix. But the fourth and final series is set in 1917 on the Western Front in the trenches of World War I. And most of the comedy revolves around the contrast between the soldiers on the front line, living in fear, trying to survive day by day and avoiding the big push over the top, out of the trenches and into no man's land. And on the other side, on the other hand, their commanders who remain safely distant from the action. And it is famously highlighted in an exchange when a general says to a private, "Don't you worry, my boy. If you should falter, remember that we are behind you." To which Blackadder responds, "About 35 miles behind you." And the final scene of the series is also famous for its non-comedic scene, where the soldiers are finally sent over the top into no man's land, armed with only service revolvers, military sticks, and a metal soldier helmet. They climb the trench ladders and run to certain death. Over the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at the letter to the Ephesians, so just a bit of a recap. Chapter 1, the first week, we looked at how we've praised the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We were all chosen in Jesus before the creation of the world. In chapter 2, it says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins, but because of God's great love and mercy, we are now made alive. It is by grace that we have been saved, and we are God's works of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works in our world. In chapter 3, we saw how God reveals himself most fully to us in Jesus Christ. The mystery is now made known, that all share in the promise of Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile, members of one body. In chapter 4, we saw how there is to be unity and maturity in the body of Christ. That is the church worldwide and each local church. And this comes through loving like Jesus, forgiving like Jesus, living like Jesus. And after covering all these things and more, Paul, writing in horrible prison conditions, says, what else is there to say? Just this: be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. And to expand on this, Paul uses armor imagery. And we need to be reminded again that Paul is writing while in prison. He has been placed there by the Roman Empire. And every day Paul sees Roman soldiers wearing their armor as they keep guard of Paul the prisoner. And you can imagine him examining their armor and Paul's creative mind thinking about God's complete armor, which is not for the war against flesh and blood, but against the leaders, against the authorities, against the powers that rule the world in this dark time, against the wicked spiritual elements in the heavenly places. It is for this reason that Christians must take up God's complete armor. Because then, when wickedness grabs its moment, we'll be able to withstand, to do what needs to be done, and still be on our feet when it is all over. You can imagine the first people who heard this letter read out in the gathered fellowship of Christians, meeting in someone's house. They hear these words of prisoner Paul talking about putting on God's complete armor. Because this is in contrast to the Roman soldier's armor. Even though the listeners weren't in prison themselves, they would have seen it day by day. And so Paul is sort of writing a parody, a little bit like parts of Blackadder's fourth series, which is parts of parody about World War I. And the image here is of the fully armed foot soldier. But it is not just the armor that God gives, but it's also the armor that God wears. Our God is not like the generals who are 35 miles behind the front lines, but he is with us in the battles, leading us and guiding us. God has not sent us out into the world while he stays back in safety. He is with us, and we are to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. God's complete armor is defensive. Well, the sword is sort of attacking, but it's also defensive. God's armor is for protection. And the passage in Paul's wider theology is about standing and withstanding. Resist, pray, be alert, watch. God's armor that he provides is sufficient, but all of it must be put on. The Roman soldier's belt was fastened in position as a sign of readiness and being prepared. And the gospel of Jesus is true, and it is the thing that holds everything else together and in place. The breastplate, it protects from frontal attack. And the one true living God is the one true judge of the world. And the fundamental justice and goodness of God and our status before him as being justified and vindicated is what protects us. We are to hold fast to the message of peace, which refers back to chapter 2. Soldiers stand firm with the proper footwear. And full-length shields were covered in leather and soaked in water to extinguish burning arrows. Belief in Jesus as the risen Lord and utter loyalty to him will protect us when the enemy hurls flaming arrows at us. The arrows may take the form of doubt or despair, of hostile circumstances, of sharp temptation that will burn us up if we let it catch fire. It may be of personal tragedy or the kind of triumph that tempts us to arrogance and pride. Helmets usually bear the image or logo of the one that you swear allegiance to. But we belong to God, and our salvation is in the helmet. We wear the helmet of salvation. We belong to the family of the risen Lord Jesus and have been rescued from the ultimate enemy. When we are about to be attacked, we defend with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And this brings me back to the children's talk about Saint Michael, and not just because we share the name. Revelation 12 speaks of the war to end all wars. Michael and his angels versus the dragon and his angels. And the dragon is given the name Diabolos in Greek, or Satan in Hebrew. And they both mean the accuser. He accuses, blames, incriminates believers. But we're told that the saints overcome the accuser by the blood of the Lamb. And as we celebrated earlier in communion, Jesus shed his blood to forgive our sins. And the saints also overcame the accuser by their testimony that Jesus is Lord, and through their martyrdom. This is the war to end all wars, because with the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, heaven is transformed. The earth is transformed, for Jesus is making all things new. And the war has been won through Jesus Christ, even though battles continue. The devil has been cast down and no longer has any place in heaven above. So we are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, fixed on things above, where the victory has already been won. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We are to walk in the light, to walk and live in the Spirit, to put on the full armor of God, to stand firm, to put the belt of truth around our waists, to put justice on as our breastplates, to take the good news of peace as shoes on our feet, to take the shield of faith so that we are able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, to wear the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Jesus has won the victory. The war to end all wars is over. And of course, this upsets the losers, and so the spiritual battles continue. But with God with us, with us wearing God's complete armor, we can stand firm. I know for many of us, we are under great stress. We feel overwhelmed. We're struggling to bear heavy loads. Challenges keep coming from all directions. They might be directly about us, but we can also bear loads that we're carrying for others. And this morning, we have already sung praises to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, the one who is our health and salvation, the one who defends us, shelters us under his wings, and gently sustains us. And we have also sung of our servant King, who entered our world not to be served, but to serve, to give his life so that we might live, who submitted to his Father's will, received wounds that left scars on his hands and feet. He bore the wrath and wounds on our behalf so that we can be reconciled to our Father and have new life in him. And that there is victory over all evil, sin, and death. And we've also sung that whatever our lot, though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, it is well with our souls, and that we can be still and know our God. And our prayers have also given us hope in these times. But let's look at another passage of Scripture. It is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It is in the time of King Jehoshaphat. Judah has been invaded by the Moabites, Ammonites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. The king gathers all the people of Judah, and they go into the temple, and they pray. As Graham shared before, it's a very fitting thing to do when facing something, to pray. The king gives a speech which is directed at God, and it says at the end, "We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." While they're in the temple praying, there comes a prophetic word. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. He stands in the assembly and says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. You will not have to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." King Jehoshaphat bows down with his face to the ground. And then all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fall down in worship before the Lord. Levites stand up and praise God with very loud voices. They're facing a great battle. They're facing great stress. All these enemies are ganged up on them. They're feeling the pressure. So they go to the place to pray. But then they get a prophetic word. "Hey, the battle's not yours. The battle is God's. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Just stand still and see the salvation of God." And so the next day, early in the morning, they set out to the desert. The king appoints singers to sing to God and praise God. And these singers go to the head of the army. They've been told to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they go forward with this song on their lips. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." They didn't fight the battle, but they won. God fought on their behalf, and all they did was stand around and sing, "Praise the Lord, his love and mercy endures forever." I know many of us are facing battles, some physical, some mental, some spiritual. Whether it's financial burdens and the bills keep coming in, whether it's medical diagnosis or mysterious medical symptoms that don't seem to have answers, praise the Lord, his love endures forever. Be still and know our God's love, mercy, loving kindness, which endures forever. We don't need to fight these battles because the battle is not ours. It's God's. Victory is in the cross. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. For as Psalm 16 says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Paul closes this letter by saying to pray on every occasion in the Spirit, with every type of prayer and intercession. Keep awake and alert for this, with all perseverance and intercession for all God's people. And Paul asked them to pray for him, so that God will give him the words to speak, so that he can make known loud and clear the gospel. And that is why Paul is an ambassador in chains. It's not your typical ambassador. And there's deliberate irony in the phrase. It's an honourable status and a shameful condition. For in the Roman Empire, the imprisonment of an ambassador would be seen as a direct insult to the one who had sent them. But Paul turns this around and considers it an honour to be in chains for such a king as Jesus. Imagine an eagle with clipped wings. Imagine a great ocean liner stuck in the Sahara sands. Imagine a basketball player with his ankles tied together. Imagine a railway locomotive in a ploughed field. Imagine an ambassador wearing chains in prison. You may feel like your wings are clipped, or you are stuck, tied up, not free. But in these trials and battles, God is with you. Even though you are limited, you may feel that you are not in a position at the moment to be an ambassador for Jesus. The fact is that God is with you. And he says, "Be still. My love and mercy endures forever." Be still. See the salvation of God. Be still. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.